Everybody, hope you're having an amazing day, time, week, month, whatever it is that you are enjoying. I hope you're enjoying it. For this one, it's a little bit late. I mean, not that you would know because it's still going to come out on Tuesday, but I'm recording this by the time that you hear this yesterday. I'm recording this on Monday and it's going to come out tomorrow on Tuesday. If you're listening to it on Wednesday, just pretend that it's Tuesday so that that still made sense. This one for quote unquote waking up is one that I've found pretty interesting because it seems to be a topic for like the past 10 days. And it's not just clients. It's also people that are like commenting on TikTok and Instagram and helping them out. I've just found it really interesting because it has all kind of come back to the advice of let yourself wake up a little bit. And whether that's at the gym or whether it's for nutrition or whether it is quite literally, let yourself wake up. The advice for the past 10 days for the majority of people has almost been like, stop, give yourself a chance to, what's the word I'm looking for? To wake up, I guess. I'm just going to say that because that's the title of what we're going for. Where do I want to start this? For example, on TikTok, had a lady, I posted a video, can't even remember what it was about, but I posted a video, I think it was about protein, of don't overcomplicate your protein. I'm pretty sure this is what it was now. And I was just having like 2 minute noodles and I cut up half a chicken breast and just put that in there and it was fucking amazing. It was actually really good. And that was like 30, 40 grams of protein. And all I did was quite literally boil the kettle, put that into 2 minute noodles, cut up and fry off, bit of chicken, done. There's my protein for that meal. And a lot of people were trying to get the most perfectly aesthetic looking Instagram worthy type of shit to just go like, oh no, I can't eat this because that's not healthy. That's not the salad. That's not the, it's not bright and vibrant and all of these things. We do want to be bright and vibrant with the foods because that typically means that you're getting a lot of nutrient dense foods like fruits and veggies and all that fun stuff. Leafy greens, everyone's favorite fucking term. But it doesn't always have to be that. If you decide to be healthy or lose weight, you don't always have to eat salads. You don't always have to eat the most healthy thing in the world. My most successful clients are the ones that regularly enjoy pizza and KFC and takeaway. And they find a way to include them into their diet. And they're the healthiest, happiest people in the world because we find a balance. When you have a lifestyle to return to, it's very simple to just basically keep doing what you're doing and you'll be happy, you'll be healthy, you'll wake up and you'll just do these things naturally. And I just realized I've still got my shoes on. Fun fact for you, anyone listening at home, still got my shoes on, as if that makes a fucking difference. Probably why I'm in the mood to podcast. I've gotten home and I haven't taken my shoes off. So I'm like, let's just do it. Got that fucking brain going on. The lady in question was on TikTok and she was like, I'm losing muscle and I can't hit my protein intake and it says that I'm losing muscle. My first thing was like, how do you know that you're losing muscle? Then she obviously responded and said, I get a scan every so often and it tells me that basically muscle mass is going down. And through the comments and everything, I was like, this is going to be a lot easier and I feel like I may have the answer, but I need some more context. So I just got her to reach out to me and just say, hey, send me a message on TikTok. We ended up having to go to Instagram because you can't send links, you can't send screenshots. You can basically only send text on TikTok. And I mean, I completely get that in terms of privacy sense. But on Instagram, we went back and forth of what about this? What about this? I got a bunch of context. And I think in about 2-3 days, the big piece of advice was basically let your body wake up and then do the things that you want to do. Then have the coffee, then have the stuff, but give yourself a chance to wake up before stimulating yourself with coffee. That was a big one. I'll go over that in a second. In like 2-3 days, we had taken this, oh my God, we're panicking about not being able to get protein in, we're losing muscle. And it was just wild to me how it was 2-3 days, here's a message, let's do these things. I brought it back to the simplicity of let's get breakfast. Most people, not just this lady, because it sounded like she was already having breakfast, but we just changed up the timing a little bit. Most people hate having breakfast and they say that they're not a breakfast person. I'm willing to bet that 90%+ of people that say that they are not a breakfast person and they can't eat in the morning, they're either getting up at 4 a.m., which is fair enough. You're still quite literally waking up because it's 4 a.m. and you're not doing fucking anything. But people are not going to be able to eat at that because their body is still wanting them to sleep. But majority of people, this is where I'd say the 90%+ of people come in. They wake up, and because they want to wake up, they make a coffee. And they either get changed and dressed and go and get a coffee from somewhere. Oh my God, I'm choking. I can still talk though. A lot of people get their coffee first thing in the morning as soon as they wake up. And that's what basically fucks their digestion and why they crash in the afternoon. Caffeine works by blocking the adenosine receptors in the brain, which are basically the more adenosine you have that gets into the brain. I'm going to oversimplify this and probably fuck it up a little bit, but I'm going to try and keep it simple so that I can understand it and give it to you as well. The more adenosine gets into your brain over the day, it will start to create what is known as sleep pressure, which is why like 2-3 hours after waking up, you're like, okay, I'm ready, let's go. Because there's enough of that pressure and you've got enough hormones that have been produced in your body naturally to get you up and going. When the sun starts to come up and we start to get the sun into our eyes and into our body, the brain goes, okay, cool, it's time to be awake. And it lets you be awake. It floods cortisol. It floods norepinephrine and a whole bunch of other things that help you, a whole bunch of other hormones that help you feel awake. And when you wake up, that's obviously naturally happening. But then a lot of people go, I need to wake up. I'll have this caffeine. The caffeine then blocks the adenosine from having that sleep pressure build up. But the way I like to describe it is it's almost like a toll booth on a highway. It's peak hour traffic. Everything naturally comes through. And if there was no toll booth, it would all just be working normally. The traffic would be flowing as per normal. Maybe there'd be a fuckwit on the road, like you didn't sleep as well, whatever. That would be the analogy that I would be using. In this sense, when you wake up and you have coffee, you install toll booths. So now maybe there's 10 lanes of traffic on the highway and they have to diverge into, let's just say, even 8 toll booths. Even just cutting off those 2 lanes and people having to merge, that would considerably slow traffic down. Even though on the opposite side of the toll booth, which is where once you've had caffeine, on the opposite side of that, you start to wake up and perk up and feel really good. As soon as you've passed that toll booth, it's basically, yep, here we go, pedal to the metal, and you take off. But let's look at that toll booth for a second. They're getting fucking hammered during peak hour. Everyone is coming through. Let me get to work. Hurry the fuck up. Here's my change. Here's my card. Oh, the square reader or whatever is not working. Those toll booth people are more than likely under a lot of stress, but they're blocking. They are basically blocking the adenosine receptors from you being tired. When peak hour is over, they are absolutely ruined. Basically, when the caffeine starts to wear off, they remove the toll booth and then all the traffic goes, thank fuck, and it comes flooding into you, into your brain. So that pressure builds up a hell of a lot quicker when caffeine starts leaving your system, which is why most people go, oh, I have a coffee when I wake up at about 6, 6:30, maybe even 7. Then I need another one at about 11 because I'm starting to feel really tired and crash. And then maybe I'll have one at about 3 or 4. I'll typically just have a snack and that will get me through to dinner. They're not using anything natural, even though caffeine and coffee beans and all that stuff is natural. They're not using their natural sense to be able to get through the day and wake themselves up. They're not letting themselves alert themselves. Most people that I have worked with, when I have said, give yourself an hour after waking up, then have your coffee. The amount of people that then become breakfast people because they wake up, they idle through the day, they just chill, they let their body do their thing, they look out the window, they're not waking up last minute anymore, so they're not immediately stressed and anxious about what am I going to wear? Am I going to be on time? Hurry the fuck up, kids, let's go. We're taking that stress down to let the body go, oh, okay, it's time to wake up. It's time to do these things. Now you've got to be doing this. Because I'm willing to bet every single one of you that are listening to this, if you've woken up last minute, oh my God, how did I get ready that quick? How did I get ready in 10 minutes? And then you get to work and you go, it's because I forgot to do this thing. Fuck, it's because I forgot to do this. Oh, it's because I didn't have breakfast, because I didn't do this. You're running off that stress and you're going. Your body naturally does that and gives you a little bit of stress and a little bit of adrenaline to go, hey, it's time to wake up. It's time to do these things, which is why when you naturally wake up, you typically feel a hell of a lot better. Unless you've been undersleeping through the week like all fuck, and then you wake up naturally after like 11, 12 hours on the weekend and you go, I feel horrible. It's not because you slept 11, 12 hours. It probably is. You're trying to wake up on that, work on that sleep debt, but it's because you got 5-6 hours during the week. You got 5 to 6 hours for 5 days in a row. Waking up one day after 11 hours, that's not the reason you feel shit. It's the lead up to it. there's always a lead-in factor. So for this lady, she couldn't get her protein in, and she was worried that she was losing muscle mass because the scans were showing that she was losing muscle mass. And all we did was try and have breakfast. Okay, I can't have breakfast because of this and this. Okay, all I want you to do is have the caffeine or the coffee or whatever it was that she was having on the way to work. Once you've had breakfast, once you've gotten ready, once you've done things, have the coffee on the drive to work or just an hour later. And then I explained that analogy to her to say, this is what caffeine does and this is how it affects the brain. And this is why you're not going to crash as much later, probably take out another coffee and then feel amazing after that. She managed to have breakfast after she woke up, not like immediately after, but sometime in the morning of her getting ready, she finally had breakfast. And it had about, I think, 50-something grams of protein. And I was like, holy fuck, that's amazing. Not many people start breakfast with 50 grams of protein. Fucking amazing. Over the course of the next like day or two, it was, yes, let's find a different one because that was way too much food. Let's bring the protein down a little bit, start a little bit slower. But overall, she was feeling better. For that day, she had, I think almost never, I'm trying to remember correctly, I think she had never hit over 100 grams of protein, or if she did, it was like fluke, how did I get that? And now having breakfast, that first day, she said she had 150 grams of protein. And I think the second day it was like 130 or something because she'd changed breakfast a little bit. So she was now hitting her protein targets because we put the coffee an hour later. We let her body wake up. We let her brain wake up. That was it. When we moved the coffee later, she felt a little bit hungrier. She felt a little bit more like, oh, I can have this food and not immediately want to shit it out. I didn't get that feedback from her, but I'm assuming because because of the amount of people I've worked with, that's typically what happens. Because caffeine, fun fact for you, caffeine is a diuretic. It's also, which basically dehydrates you. Caffeine, also, if you've ever had pre-workout or if you're a gym person and you have that fat burner, that pre-workout, 30 minutes later, 20 minutes later, you could shit through an eye of a needle. You are just getting it all out because caffeine relaxes the sphincters in the body. What a fun word to say, sphincter. Caffeine relaxes the sphincters in the body, meaning that when you have caffeine and then you eat something, it'll feel like it's going straight through you because it's not as tightly regulated through your gut and digestive system because there's caffeine there and it's a little bit more relaxed. It's, imagine a security guard that is, let's just say, on Ritalin, because that's the first thing that came to my brain. He's on Ritalin. He's alert. He's doing all this stuff. He is fucking killing it. Now, let's imagine he hasn't taken Ritalin for the next day. He's incredibly tired and he's kind of drunk. He'll still maybe possibly do his job, but he's not really giving a fuck. That's what your digestive system does when you have caffeine and then try to have food, just caffeine in general. That's why if you have fat burners and pre-workouts, they typically have like 100 to 150 milligrams of caffeine, a bunch of other fun chemicals, but that's one of the big ones. An average cup of coffee, I think, is about 40 grams of caffeine for just like a standard regular cup. I'm actually going to look this up. Average caffeine in a cup of coffee, top one. There we go. Holy shit, this goes from like, you know how I always say like, oh, there's a factor in everything and it's all highly dependent. This is this. Oh my God, am I getting fucking, I'm going to type in Australia because I'm getting like, who could drink that much coffee? It's Americans. 70 milligrams of caffeine. 50 milligrams of caffeine. So it is depending like all fuck. So pretty large. But imagine the people like me previously that used to have lethal amounts of pre-workout that would be about 300 milligrams of caffeine. And there's also some that are very potent for obviously big people that have like big people. I'm thinking like bodybuilder muscular type of people that have like 400 milligrams of caffeine, I think, in just one scoop. And then if you've got someone who's 6'5" bodybuilder doing all that, that may not affect them as much compared to someone who's maybe 4'11", still maybe let's just say bodybuilder, or let's say even like 5'5", but maybe a bit of chunk, maybe a bit of like, let's go to the gym and I want to lose weight. Those people that are taking that fat burner that's going to be extremely potent, they're going to dehydrate the fuck out of themselves, which is why when most people start a diet, they typically lose a lot of weight in the first part, in the first like 2 weeks. Especially if you're doing keto. because carbs hold on to water. You get rid of carbs, you're dehydrating yourself because you don't have that, which is why when you do keto, they say get your salt intake up and get your water intake up, because salt holds on to water. Carbs hold on to water. You're basically replacing carbs with salt so that you can stay hydrated. That's it. If you're not doing keto and you're just doing a normal diet, it's typically because you're sweating a lot more, you're taking a lot of caffeine or fat burners or pre-workouts, and you're just dehydrating yourself. You typically end up losing a lot of fluid in the first 2 weeks, and then you'll start to notice the consistent maybe fat loss, maybe still a bit of fluid. But after the first 2 to 4 weeks, that's where I sort of go, okay, from 4 weeks onwards, that's where we're roughly losing fat, or we've got a base number that we can work with. To get back on topic, because go Travis, for this lady, it was basically let yourself wake up. Idle in the morning, just chill, just have fun. Hello, people on TikTok. Just let yourself have fun and just idle. Enjoy the morning. For the next person that I gave the advice of like wake up for, like give yourself a body a chance to wake up, was in the gym. Her knees were very, very, very sore. And she's always classically had, I'm not going to say bad knees. She's always had like angry knees. Whenever she moves, the knees are a hell of a lot better. And it's the thing, not just this lady, but also every client I've worked with, every person I've seen, where it's like, if you go to the gym, this pain will go away. But you have to go to the gym and experience a bit of pain in order to get the big pain to go away. But people go to the gym, they experience pain, they rest for way too long, and then they go back to the gym and experience a lot of pain, and they stay in that cycle of never adapting or getting stronger to the pain. And they just stay in pain forever. And they go, why do I go to the gym? I don't get that endorphin rush or that positive this, that positive that from the gym. Because every time you go to the gym, you're going a bit hard. You're not recovering that well. And of course, you're going to feel like shit. That's why most people, the best advice, the most simple advice I will say, is that most trainers and most health people that are in the gym or lifting weights, they go, the first month is going to suck, but then it gets better. The explanation behind that is you will start to adapt. Your body will start to go, oh my God, this is something that is a regular basis. We're going to have to get stronger for this. So it will start adapting. If you can get protein in, because that will help you maintain and build even more muscle, meaning your recovery will be a bit better. I don't usually have to tell people to get carbs in because they naturally get carbs in anyway. If you're not eating carbs, for love of fucking God, eat carbs. They are good for energy. They transport nutrients to your muscles. And if you're having a lot of protein, you'll need some carbs to be able to get to basically transport the protein to the muscles. It'll get there eventually, but it's just a lot quicker if you introduce carbs. And some light cardio. I know people who are like, I hate cardio. No, no, no. The better you are at cardio, or the fitter you are, the better you will recover, because you will need to promote blood flow to those areas that are basically being torn. If you do a heavy leg day and your quads are absolutely like, oh my God, I can't do anything, then yeah, if you can't get up and down off the toilet, yeah, it's not going to be amazing. It's going to suck. When you feel able to just go for a little walk, do that. Because when you can get blood flow to that muscle, that is helping in the aid and repair of it. Like when someone goes, oh, my neck is really tight and sore, what do you do? People put heat packs on it. They use Voltaren. They use things to go, oh, get some heat to it and it'll start moving and limbering up. Yes. You're promoting blood flow to that area to take out the broken red blood cells, to put fresh ones in there and help repair that process. So the fitter you are, the more you are likely going to recover from lifting weights better. The better you are to recover from weights. I said that so fucking weird, but I hope it made sense. So yeah, that's why I always say, let's do minimum 20 minutes of cardio. Even though we want to look a particular way, we still need to be able to feel a particular way. And if you feel a particular way, meaning you feel fit and strong, nobody really wants to just be strong unless you're doing like strongman stuff and you're doing whatever, but you still need to have a degree of fitness. Most people, when they sign up with me, they go, I just want to be like fit and healthy. Fit being the first thing. Everyone always has a weird thing of like, if I could run, then amazing. I have a good get out of jail free card of running because I've got compartment syndrome in my left leg, in my left calf, I should say. So it's like, yep, cool. I can play sports. I can do stuff because I can rest, massage, and let that stuff go. It's not continuous running. If I do continuous running, oh my fucking God, my leg is going to explode and it hurts so much. So that's my get out of jail free card for cardio. But I still walk on the treadmill every morning for minimum 15 minutes, but usually it gets up to about 20, 25. and I tell people to just get a sweat up, because I'm trying to get the heart rate up to get them used to pushing themselves to get to a sweat, to stress the heart enough to be able to pump blood flow over it and to get warm. And yeah, we do cardio as a warm up. It's just the easiest form. It's giving yourself a chance to wake up. It's giving the body a chance to warm up, to wake up, and now it's ready to go accept whatever stimulus that it needs for the day. For this lady, to bring it back to the PT session, her knees have always been not amazing in the sense of they produce pain and they can be a bit crackly and cranky. When she moves less, when she gets less steps in, when she does less at the gym or doesn't go to the gym, her knees end up going, hey, this is bad. We don't like doing this. We're going to produce some pain. But at the gym, she came in to see me last week and it was like, how have you been? Knees have been shit. Okay, what's been going on? Been on holiday, didn't get steps up, didn't do as much movement. That's completely fine. To get the knees feeling better, what did we do? We did partial range, heavy leg press, because it is more of like a, yes, it is a bit of arthritis, but it's also the patella tendon that we're working with as well. Obviously, I have the luxury of knowing that. And tendons respond really well to load. They don't like being stretched, but they respond really well to being loaded. So that's why we do partial ranges that are really fucking heavy to get the tendon in to go, yep, okay, this is fine, this is all good, and get it to respond to that stimulus. The first set that we did on leg press was, it was heavy-ish, but it was producing pain. We moved it around a little bit. We got her to do like an isometric hold, basically just hold this position and let the weight go into the quads, feel that. We then increased the weight, and that set felt a hell of a lot better than the first one. We increased the weight again, and that felt even better. When we finished the really heavy sets of leg press, we got off with the partial range. We got off, and it was like, how are the knees feeling? Like, yeah, they feel really good. At the end of the session, after the movement, after the things, the knees feel really good. By the way, if you are listening to this, please let me know, how are your knees feeling now? Normally, they feel pretty good. I'm going to take that bet. But the movement there was basically, let your body wake up. Do a warm-up here. Let whatever it is your body needs, and we can go into this a hell of a lot later in terms of probably another episode of like, listen to your body. Movement is going to be one of the best things to get your body to wake up, which is why I like doing the gym in the morning. If I do it in the afternoon, I feel like I'm under pressure. I feel like I have a time crunch. I've either had a shit day or a good day, which is going to influence how much do I want to push myself at the gym. But when I wake up and no one is talking to me, messaging me, doing anything, and I can just be and just focus on how does my body feel, amazing. I can let myself wake up, get stimulated, get ready for the day, and I have more energy through the day and I crash less in the afternoon. I basically have more sustained energy when I work out in the morning through the rest of the day. And we love that. That's what we want. So yeah, the advice I gave her and where I came up with this podcast idea was, holy crap, everyone just needs to give their body a chance to chill. Everyone needs to give themselves a second to wake up, to just feel what is happening first and then make a decision. Don't have caffeine as soon as you wake up. If you want to, fantastic. You're probably going to crash and it's going to be a bit harder to have breakfast. Have breakfast fast and then have your caffeine. In the gym, don't go straight into heavy lifts. Don't go into, oh, my body hurts, so I can't do this stuff. Okay, give your body a chance to wake up. Do some cardio. Let your body wake up. If it's absolutely screaming at you, don't do more after you've just done cardio and you've done some light stretching and you've just tried to do what you can to get the body to feel good and it's still screaming at you, don't do this, then don't. Then go home. Then take the day off. Because then at least you can say, I got to the gym, I tested myself, could I do it? It fucking hurt, so I went home. Now you have a legitimate reason to go, I'm not doing this. Instead of like, that get out of jail free card I mentioned in the previous episode as well, and I obviously just mentioned for my compartment syndrome, that get out of jail free card to go, ah, my muscles are sore, so I'm not going. If you ask yourself your question towards the tail end of the soreness, do you think you'd be able to go though? Do you think you'd be able to do some light cardio? Do you think you'd be able to maybe do lighter weights but still get a session in? Yeah, probably could. Okay, cool. Then that's what we're going to do. But I don't know why, when it comes to the gym, a lot of people are expecting there needs to be no pain whatsoever or no soreness whatsoever in any of these muscles for me to work them out. Yeah, don't push yourself for a personal best if your muscles are pretty sore, but keep them moving. Keep the rust away is basically what we're trying to do. keep the rust away, keep the blood flow going to the muscles that are sore, because that's going to help with the recovery. Absolute worst case, you're going to feel better for getting into the gym, getting cardio, and improving on your fitness. No matter what you do, it's going to be a win-win. Just don't push yourself to the absolute fucking limit every single session, because yes, you will burn out, your body will break down, and that's the part we have to go. Maybe take some more time off the gym, or have a deload week, which is, instead of doing 5 days a week at four sets of everything you're doing, go 4 days a week and do two sets of everything that you're doing. Decrease the weight ever so slightly. Even when people are having time off from the gym, this is something I've learned later in my career, was when I was fucking burning out. And then I looked into what is a deload, what is rest, what is this, what is that? And I always kind of knew it, but it's not until you actually experience it yourself, you go, oh, okay, that makes sense. I get this now. It was also very hard to rest at the gym and to do less at the gym when you're battling just a smidge of body dysmorphia. I am simultaneously never going to be small and ripped enough and never be big enough. It's a lot of fun. We love it. The gym is an awesome place. So we want to keep the rest away. It doesn't mean that we want to keep the rust away by resting. Oh my God. When we do that, it's still moving. It's still getting your body some blood flow into those muscles. It's a little bit of muscle memory, and it's basically just getting the blood flow and making sure that your body doesn't completely break down on you. That's really what we're trying to do. It doesn't mean that you're not getting results. Hello, everyone. Thank you for all the likes and stuff. It doesn't mean that you're not getting anything from the gym or it's not enough. It's the fact that you've been doing too much that we need to do just enough. And if you were doing good enough, then amazing, you're doing better than majority of people. It's a crazy thing when people are like, I need to do this thing because it feels like it's not enough. It's like, why is it not enough? I don't know, it just doesn't feel like it. When, to go deep on that one, the reason that it never feels like what you're doing is enough, all the external shit to you, is because internally you never feel like you are enough. And that's where we have to work on the actual feelings of you feeling good enough within yourself and feeling confident within yourself to get the results, to keep your lifestyle, to take these actions that make you feel better. When you start feeling good enough and you start feeling like you are enough, all of a sudden, oh my God, holy shit, you don't maybe need this job that is paying you a lot of money, but it's stressing you out like, oh fuck. Maybe you want to have a job that pays less, but it makes you happier. But you never wanted to do that because taking less money was like, oh no, I can't do that because everyone's going to judge me for taking less money. When you really don't give a fuck what anyone thinks, life becomes a hell of a lot easier. You just become confident in yourself. And people who say, I don't care what anyone thinks, usually a liar. And I'm going to preface that by saying, I don't care what anyone thinks, but I still kind of care what people think. I'm going to take actions that I am comfortable with and that I am confident that are going to improve my life. Yeah, there's still going to be a bit of fear of judgment of what if this person says this or what is this person going to say? It happens every so often when I go to post stuff on social media. Oh my God, what if my friends get this and they see the D&D fucking skit that I've done on TikTok? And then that sort of glosses over my brain for a second and I go, but I can't do that because I have to be a professional. And then like a second later I go, who gives a fuck? I like it, so I'm just going to post it. It's like, okay, cool. And then I do that. But earlier when I was like, 17 through 20, probably even a little bit later than that as well, I would have let that fear stop me. I would have let that fear of judgment say, no, I can't do that. I would have researched everything to go, what is correct? Or how do I do this in a way that people will like me for it and society's not going to judge me for it? I just hit a point where it was like, I don't give a fuck. Like that person judging me, I'm probably not going to see them ever again. And who cares if they do? Who cares if I do run into them? I'm happy with what I'm doing. I'm successful. And I'm successful in a way that I deem is successful. And if I run into that person again and they go, oh, you did that fucking D&D skit on TikTok. That shit's embarrassing. I'm like, I liked it. A lot of other people seem to enjoy it as well. What about it was embarrassing? It's fucking D&D. And then they start feeling embarrassed because they go, oh, fuck, okay, people are actually liking this and he's not. I'm not getting the reaction from him. And I thought, when you're confident in yourself, a lot of that noise just fades into the background and you end up just being a fuckload happier and less stressed and less anxious as well, I've noticed. So yeah, with all of that being said, give yourself a chance to wake up. If you're legitimately waking up, try not to stress yourself out with what am I doing? What am I going to wear? Sort that shit out the night before. Give yourself a chance to wake up without stress, without anxiety, without all these decisions that you're immediately waking up and having to do. If you're setting your alarm for the last possible minute, maybe don't do that. Maybe set it for 30 minutes before and try to create a routine in there where you just get up and just enjoy the morning. Maybe you watch some TV, maybe just do some stretching, maybe you do whatever. But that's not wasted time. That's you helping yourself have energy for later in the day. That's you being more productive for your mental health. Probably even more productive at work as well, because you don't feel as stressed when you get there. And then the day finally hits, it feels like you've been running on, like you've just been running full pace. And then you go, man, I'm so hungry. Oh, it's 12:30. I haven't eaten yet. Oh my God, I need some food. And then you get up, and then because you're used to that stress or you're addicted to that stress, you go, I don't really feel hungry right now. I'm going to keep eating. And then later at night, you go, I don't know why I can't stop snacking. Why can't I stop eating after dinner? Why can't I stop binging? Because you didn't have breakfast, you had fuck all for lunch, and you love being stressed. That's it. A lot of people don't know that they love being stressed, but as soon as you take the stress away from them, they panic. I don't know how to rest. I don't know how to do these things, because you don't give yourself a chance to think. You don't give yourself a chance to feel. Usually those people are the ones that have thought and had feelings in the past that were so fucking negative, they go, I don't want to feel like that ever again. So they distract themselves with external stuff. I know that very well. That's how I started my work ethic. And I was like, I have an amazing work ethic. No, I don't. I'm mentally unstable. That's why I work so fucking hard. As soon as someone was like, go rest, like, I'll put you through a wall. Don't tell me to stop doing what I'm doing, because this saved my life. This means I don't have to deal with my thoughts and feelings. I was as miserable and broken tired when I didn't deal with my thoughts and feelings. Started going to therapy, started talking to people, started communicating my thoughts and feelings and processing it and working through it. Business got a hell of a lot better. At the time, I was like, I don't know why this is happening. People just seem to be signing up and wanting to do some stuff. I was posting better content because I was just like, this is funny. I like this. This is enjoyable. I'm just going to start talking about this. I find it enjoyable. And people related to me and they were like, I want to work with you. Oh my God, holy shit. Who would have thought? The happy person ended up getting more people than the depressed person. That's fucking wild. And both of those people in that instance, just so you think I'm not having a dig at other people, both of those people were me. So let's calm the fuck down. So give yourself a chance to warm up. Give yourself a chance to wake up. Whether that is, that was the third thing I was going to say. If you are tracking weight, for example, because this was a comment that I found on TikTok, and I also just found it interesting with people who were checking in with me as well, like actual clients. Because we are week 3 at the moment of the 6-week reset. Well, this is going to be week 4 by the time that you hear this. It's fucking Monday and this is going up tomorrow, Travis. God damn it. We're in week 4 of the 6-week reset. So it's going pretty well. Of those people, when the scale doesn't go the way that we want to, a lot of people freak out and go, oh my God. In this sense of like wake up, change the wording just a little bit. It's like, give yourself some time. We want to give it, how did I say it to the person that just signed up? That's what it was. It was. When you are looking for weight loss, or you're looking for weight gain or maintenance or whatever the fuck it is, but let's just say weight loss. When you're looking for weight loss, a lot of people go, I didn't lose weight this day, and they think that they fucked up, they need to change something. Or even if they're looking at the averages of that week, they look at the average of that week and go, oh my God, it's the same as last week, or it's higher than last week on average, I've done something wrong. Don't change that just yet. Give it one more week. Use that first week to wake yourself up as like the wake-up call to go, why didn't that go the way that I thought it was going to? Because weight loss at the end of the day is just an expectation. You expect the weight to go down after doing these things, but we can't fucking determine that. We can't guarantee that. No matter how much you say that you can guarantee that, no, you can't. Because I have had clients that have starved themselves for a day. Yes, they've lost weight, but then they've had a little bit of food the next day and the weight has gone back up. You can't guarantee it. You can maybe guarantee it for a short time, but the body is smarter than you. It's going to have its processes to make sure that you don't die. Okay, cool. When that week happens or you don't lose weight or something doesn't go to plan, give yourself a chance to wake up, to sort of analyze, use that as the call, use that as the trigger to bring some awareness to the situation. What is happening? What is going on here? I had a client that was still like 2 weeks ago, I think. 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago. She was doing everything right, still hitting calories, still doing everything, still hitting macros, still going to the gym. Everything was like nothing was different. But her weight was staying the same for basically the entire week. And weeks previous, it would like go down a little bit, jump up, go down a little bit, jump up. This week, it wasn't going down. She was like, what am I doing wrong? Has anything changed? Nope, gym is still this. Work is still this. Everything was the exact same. So I went, have you had anything different for food? Like, even though the macros may be still about the same, what have you been having? They were having, I think, burrito bowls for lunches, and then they were having something else at dinner. Like, their sodium just spiked like all fuck for the week. So the weight went up a little bit, then stayed the same, and then came down a little bit, but it was like up. All the macros, everything, workout, everything was all the exact same. But, and they weren't in their period, like they weren't at the part in their cycle where they typically bloat and gain a bunch of fluid. So they were like, this is really weird what's going on. It was just the type of food that they were having. They held on to more fluid because their sodium peaked like all fuck. And then it was, okay, are you going to do that again next week? No, probably not. I'm like, cool. We don't have to worry about anything. Give it another week. See what happens. The next week, when they changed their food and they went like just slightly less sodium, the weight started coming back down. Even in that sense, if you have a shitload of sodium, you can still be losing fat and gaining muscle, even if the scale goes up, because your body's retaining fluid. You could still be losing fat, but your scales are not going to show that because you're just retaining a little bit more fluid. Sodium is not fucking evil. We need it for heart health as well. So yeah, give yourself a chance to wake up. I thought I was going to say more. I said it like I was going to say more, but that should have just been a full stop. Give yourself a chance to wake up. Make it simple. Have fun. You don't need to rush into anything. You don't need to make immediate adjustments. You don't need to panic about anything. Most people that do panic, they're in a very good situation. When I say just give it another week, it usually sorts itself out. 80% of the time it sorts itself out. The other 20%, it's like, hey, change this, do this. It's just very simple things to go take this next step and they're fine. So yeah, that's going to be awesome if you give yourself a chance to wake up. Let the body wake up, let your brain wake up. I will say this week is the last week that you can join the wait list for Simply Happy and Healthy. I am going to say, when I ran Simply Happy and Healthy as a 10-week program, it was fucking amazing. Everyone was in there. We were following the content at the same time and everything was relevant. Transformation clients that went through Simply Happy and Healthy were like, I can't believe how much value was in this. How am I learning stuff from these masterclasses that we haven't learned through one-on-one coaching? And it might be because obviously one-on-one is fucking hyper-personalized. Maybe we didn't need to go through that and we went through something else. But this Simply Happy Healthy is the foundations that I like to give every transformation client. I know not everyone can afford my big Unfuck Yourself transformation program because it's like thousands of dollars. For this, I've turned it from a 10-week to a 12-week because there's a little messy bit in there where I was like, this is going to be an ongoing month-to-month program. And it flopped very hard. I didn't like the way that calls were going. I didn't like the way that I was giving value. I didn't like the way that it was disjointed of like, you're in week one, you're in week six, you're in week three. How do I make this call relevant for everyone? It's not going to happen. So I've decided to just pull that, fuck the money off in the sense of like, I don't need a monthly recurring thing because it typically works out in the end. So I have taken it back to a 12-week program and I'm only going to run two intakes for Simply Happy and Healthy for this year purely because of timing reasons. I can't do more. If I sneakily find another way to do it, then fuck yeah, I'll find a way to do that. But typically I can't. I just had a massive brainwave then. Unless I have like Tuesdays, you do this, and then Thursdays is your call, and then I can have four, like more people involved for different days for different calls. Anyway, that's a future try problem. For right now, that's not happening. For the first 9 weeks of Simply Happy and Healthy, there's going to be masterclasses, minimum of two masterclasses. This is specializing in nutrition, mindset, the big things that a lot of people come to me for. Not many people usually come to me and go, hey, I need my biceps to be bigger. I need personal training for this to be bigger. 90% of people come to me because there is a thought pattern or belief system, or they've just spent way too much time in toxic diet culture that they don't know how to eat. They don't know how to keep things simple so that they can have the fuel that they need to lose weight, but still feel good. Most times when people have dieted in the past, they've done 1200 calorie diets. They've done fucking meal plans. They've done unlimited HIIT sessions. They've tried to burn as many calories as they possibly can to earn food for the weekend. They've only allowed themselves like one cheat day. There's a lot of broken belief systems in there of this is how I lose weight. And if the 1,000+ clients that I have worked with in the past are anything to say, you don't have to do that. You can keep it simple. You can keep happy and healthy simple. There we go. Look at that. Fucking tagline for us. This program is everything that I would love to give transformation clients as they start. And I typically do, which is obviously why it's ended up being the program that it is. For the first 9 weeks, there's a minimum of 2 masterclasses that get dropped every week that are about nutrition and the mindset that goes into nutrition for, I need you to understand this, or it would be awesome and massively beneficial for you to get away from the all or nothing, to get away from perfectionism. If you want to calculate your own calories, there's a video in there that shows you, how do I do this for my clients? It's in there. If you don't want to track calories or macros, there's a video in there to go, this is what to focus on instead. This is quite literally the best program that you could do. This is the best program that I have ever produced outside of the Unfuck Yourself one, because in my eyes, that's not really a program. That's more of like a one-on-one, almost like mentorship. Every week, let's do this with heaps of touch points. Simply Happy Healthy, in this sense of it being a 12-week program, is the best thing that you will ever fucking do. If you are looking for an improved relationship with food, to try and get to food freedom, to manage a little bit of ADHD symptoms through food, because a lot of people regulate their nervous system with food and sugar, and also some tips for ADHD. I'm still recording some videos that are going to be in there. The base of this, of Simply Happy Healthy, is fucking amazing. I'm just recording even more videos to put on there into bonus education, like tips, nutrition tips for ADHD. There is how to calculate your calories and macros. There is the Semper Fi method, which is something that I came up with. Obviously, Semper Fi is military, but Semper Five, it's sleep, energy, mood, performance, recovery. And there's 5 of those. So they're the big 5 factors for when you need to deload, change your nutrition, or just make any adjustments for yourself. I'm trying to give you as much information in this program that is, this is my brain and everything that I give transformation clients. And I'm trying to give that to you in 12 weeks. Go do that. There's weekly live coaching calls as well. You pre-submit your questions and I'll help personalize everything you're learning to your life. The coaching calls are going to have a topic because obviously we'll go through everything in week 1 together. In week 2, we're all at that same stage. But some people may find some videos that obviously you don't need that because maybe you've just had coaching on that in the past. There's going to be other things where you jump into a call, and this has happened heaps of times before when we did the 10-week one. People jumped into the call and they were like, yeah, we ran through this on the transformation program, so I don't really need this topic, but I'll jump into the call. And they jumped into the call. Someone else brought up a question, I answered it, and then someone else answered it from the program as well to go, yeah, when I did this, and they related it to it. And those people that were like, I don't really need to join in this because what can I learn from it? They took a massive breakthrough realization from another person asking a question and someone else answering it. And they were like, holy fuck, I never thought about it like that. This is going to be limited to 20 people because the first time I ran it, when there were 10 people doing it for the 10 weeks, even that, I was like, I don't think I could do much more than this by making sure that people are still heard and I can still personalize and get to know you and give you actual coaching advice. This isn't a program where you jump in and it's set and forget, good fucking luck. Hopefully 10% of you finish so that at the end of the 12 weeks, I can use that to market the next intake. This is you and me going through this together. This is the alternative to one-on-one coaching that keeps it massively affordable, but still gives you world-class coaching. And if you sign up to the waitlist, you get all of that for 50% off. That I'm capping it at 20 because I know that this price is going to be fucking ridiculous and the amount of value in here is life-changing. Because selfishly, I was like, I'll do Simply Happy Healthy and people will want to join Transformation Program. One person considered it and then they were like, nope, can't afford it. And I was like, cool. But the rest of them were like, this is a lot of information to go off. I feel like I'm in a pretty good spot. So I kind of fucked myself because I put too much into Simply Happy and Healthy. And they were like, I'm going to give this a go for the next month, 4 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever. Caught up with a bunch of them or just messaged them to go, hey, how's things going? And they go, really well. So selfishly, I was like, fuck, I can't get more money from them. But then my actual brain kicked in and I went, that is exactly what I said I was going to do and why I created Simply Happy and Healthy. So if anything, that is better to market than, okay, this person then went on to Transformation Program. Now this Transformation Program client is doing this. this is a stupidly valuable and life-changing program. It is the best one that you will ever do. 12 weeks, change your life. If you don't like it at any point, change your mind. I don't give a fuck. Whatever it is, I'll give you 100% of your money back. Full refund guarantee. That's how certain I am that this is going to be life-changing. And if it's not, I don't want you paying for shit that's not really going to work because you've wasted your time by signing up. I don't want you to have to waste your time and money. So I've never had to do that for any program except once in Transformation in 2020. That was a very unique situation. But full money back guarantee if you don't like it for any reason. So if you want to change your life, get food freedom, wake up with less stress and anxiety, manage your nervous system a hell of a lot better through food, break through toxic dieting beliefs, challenge your thought patterns, feel more comfortable and confident in your own skin. If you want to lose a bit of weight, fantastic. This program will help you set your goals for what you want to do. But this is ultimately, how do you get a better life? And I'm going to help you bridge that gap from where you are to the life that you want. And if you're on the waitlist, I'll do it for fucking half price. So all of that is going to be in my link in bio. If you're listening to any of this clip, any of these clips on Instagram or whatever, comment waitlist on literally anything and I'll send you more info so that you can sign up. But on Monday from next week, which is the somethingth, from the 24th, for that week, from the 24th of Feb through to the 2nd of whatever comes after Feb, March, I'm horrible with months. Until the 2nd of March, you can sign up to Simply Happy and Healthy for 50% off. So I hope you have an amazing day. Let yourself wake up. Give yourself a chance to analyze everything that's going on. But that is it. Hope you have an amazing day, time, and everything else. And I'll see you in the next one.